Tonight I want us to look at the healing choice, meaning the relationship choice. The relationship choice not only that we have with Christ, but the relationship we have with one another. Now, evaluate all your relationships. Each one of us, and I've preached on this several times, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt you and make amends for harm you've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. Now, let me read those two statements again. Make amends for harm you've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. Sometimes we're a little gruff in how we want to mend fences. And in the process of attempting to mend, we destroy more than we would if we had left it alone. Again, you go, people are saying, I want to make amends for the harm that I've done to others. And then in the process of doing what they say they want to do, you end up listening to them. They say, people, I would not have done that to you had you not been such a jerk. And you see what I mean? It's an idea of be careful. Sometimes going up to make amends in a situation, you have other people that may be involved that are on the sideline. You can harm because that person you're going up to make amends with hasn't told all the others that are around them what's going on. They have kept it private. Therefore, you pull it out in public. You do harm. Always measure how you go to a person. Always take into consideration everyone surrounding that individual. And when you're going in to mend fences, you don't go in mending fences by blaming someone else for you busting through the fence to begin with. So pay close attention to the feelings of those around you. Pay attention to the individual. And again, be careful when you're talking about situations, making certain that you don't talk out of school. Out of class, simply stating meaning what is going on with you and someone else in the fence breaking. Keep your mouth shut and don't, because it can be gossip real quick. You can do a whole lot of damage there, so be very careful. Matthew 5, verse 7. Happy are those who are merciful to others. Happiness comes into the heart of an individual who shows mercy to someone else. But to show mercy to someone else and to make certain that that individual feels that mercy, you do not antagonize, nor do you brag about, well, I gave you mercy. What else do you want? And now look what you did. When after I showed mercy to you, I want you to pay attention to what a jerk you really are. What have you done? You've just destroyed any hope of rebuilding those fences. Be merciful to others. If you know what you're getting ready to say is going to do harm to them, don't say it. Be merciful. Well, yeah, but it's the truth. I don't care if it is the truth. As a matter of fact, the truth hurts a lot more than the falsehood does. Here's what that's like. You're coming up to a four-way stop, okay? You've stopped, and you see the others coming your way. You have the right-of-way. But if you have any defensive driving skills at all, you look to make sure that somebody's not going to run that stop sign. Now, you're in the right. They're not. You're dead right. You pull right in the intersection, and what are you going to do? Say, look, I'm right, you're wrong, about the time that car hit you. So be careful. And be merciful to yourself. Don't pull out in front of them. You know, defensive driving is a thing of the past almost. I watch everybody else more than I watch me, and I'll probably run off the road one day. And they say, what happened? I was watching everybody else but me. Okay, this statement is about forgiving those who have hurt us. Be merciful to others. Matthew 5:9, happy are those who work for peace. This statement is about asking forgiveness and making amends with those we have hurt. Others hurt us. We hurt others. It's just the way it is. I mean, if you're alive, you've hurt somebody. If you've been in a conversation with anybody, a lot of times you will hurt others and not even realize that you're hurting them. Your intent was not to hurt them. But then you get embarrassed because you've hurt them, and you don't know how to get out, so you just turn and you walk away, which hurts more. You're leaving. So pay close attention to the mercy part. When you know within yourself how you love people to have mercy on you, you know, this person saw what you did and you know it was wrong at the time that you did it, are you not happy that that person doesn't throw it back in your face? Then why would you not reciprocate the same way with the same mercy? Why would we not do that? Because sometimes we're just mean-spirited. And we want to hurt. Some people just want to hurt other people. And they do. Sometimes we hurt them, not really wanting to hurt them, but we don't care if we do, one way or the other. Yeah. Yeah. I told you not to do that. You know, I listen to that with parents. And I think, what's the matter with you moms and dads? A kid is almost lose their life, and they come to the hospital and said, I told you this would happen when you did this. You think the kid doesn't already know that they messed up? They don't need you reminding them that they're in that hospital. Well, okay. There are three reasons to forgive others. Let's go. Number one, because God has forgiven you. I think that's an important one. Colossians 3:13, be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. What good does it do to you to hold a grudge? Now, there's a lot of difference here, and let me remind you of this. When you have individuals who are bent on causing trouble or bent on doing malicious things, you don't hold a grudge against them, but you do stand your distance from them. Be wise enough to know, look, I'm not going to waste my heart and my life on holding a grudge against you, but stay away from me, because some personalities just do not gee and haul. And for those under 60, that means for a horse to go right or left. If you're a horse, you know it already. I don't know. You will never have to forgive anybody else more than God has already forgiven you, right? Number two, reason to forgive others, because resentment doesn't work. Oh, you talk about living a miserable life when you have holding resentment against someone and you see them laughing and joking and you're so resentful. And you have a reason to be resentful from your standpoint, but you tell me who's the happiest. You're angry all the time because of that resentfulness, that you feel that you deserve the right to be resentful, but they're happy. Okay, let's listen to Job 5:2. To worry yourself to death, this is the good news here. To worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. Have you ever listened to people who actually do worry themselves? They die. Yeah. Worry will kill you, folks. You can. It will shut your body down in a heartbeat. Okay. No pun intended. Job 18, verse 4. You are only hurting yourself with your anger. Job 21:23-25. Some people stay healthy till the day they die. Others have no happiness. They live and die with bitter hearts. Oh, gosh. How many personalities that I know I've come, and you will too, have come across in your life that are just bitter. It seems like their whole life, nothing was ever right. I resent you being able to be happy. I have heard and I've listened to folk who said they've lost their mate. And when the mate dies and later on they find somebody that they can find joy with. And the resentment that comes, can you believe? I never would have thought. Have you ever met somebody that just loves being miserable? Yeah. Or loves being sick? Yeah, sick all the time. And if they're not sick, they're not happy. You need to forgive for your own good. Okay, number three. You too will need forgiveness in the future. Okay. Now, here we go. Mark 11:25. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Come to God and say, Lord, would you please forgive me of this? I don't know, Larry. How come you didn't forgive so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so? If you don't forgive, can I give forgiveness to you because you don't forgive? How can I forgive, would say God? How can I forgive you when you're not repenting of the sin that you're committing by not forgiving others? And then you'll sit there when God gets through with you, realizing you should have just stayed out of that conversation because you lost from the very beginning. Three steps to forgiveness. We ready? Number one, you revealed your hurt. You can't get over the hurt until you admit your pain. Until you see, how in the world are you going to deal with a hurt if you won't admit what's hurting you? Now, forgiveness from your part means you got to understand you've been hurt or you've hurt somebody else. How many people do you know that, you know, say, well, I'm not going to ask for their forgiveness because I don't believe what I said really hurt them. If they believe it hurt them, it hurt them. Well, our pride has dug a pit so deep. You know, I see people all the time, especially young preachers or anything, they don't want to admit they're wrong. I said, good gracious, as a pastor, as an educator, you are the one that needs to take the heat, accept the blame for everything. But you have to have, you have to understand in order to do that, that people don't control you. And you have to get that in your mind to the point of, look, my relationship is with Jesus Christ. Therefore, I'm sound and I'm secure in my relationship with him. What do I care if I admit, okay, yeah, I'm guilty of that. I should have watched it. I'm guilty of it. That doesn't excite me at all. I say it all the time, even when I don't know what they're talking about. You just take it. And that way, it helps you grow in your own character, but it also helps someone else. Number two, you release the offender. Don't wait for them to ask for forgiveness. They may never ask you. You need to do this for yourself. Matthew 18:21-22. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Now, you have a group of folks that want to say that you know, multiply seven times 70, and that's the number of times. So you keep track of exactly, and when you get to, yeah, when you get to that number, you can take them out after that. No, the intent of this is the perfect number all the way through. There's no end to it. Forgiveness has no end. Be thankful for that. Be thankful for that. Practice that, because that's what you expect from God. I'm glad that he has no end to his forgiveness. You will know you have released them when you can think about them and it doesn't hurt anymore. This does not mean that you go back to an abusive or dangerous relationship. With folks, I tell them that all the time. I said, we Baptists are horrible in this from the standpoint of, now, there is one man or one woman for you in your life. For one thing, I don't believe that. What if the one woman that was for you in your life married somebody else? That means you're going to be single. That's not how the Bible teaches that. What? No more. It doesn't mean that you loved your husband. You're a widow, so you loved your husband less because you had somebody, a friend or so, or remarry. The Bible gives us lead to do that. Doesn't mean you love anybody less. It means that you want the relationship or the friendship. So what we do is make certain that when we're paying attention to this, that just because we say, no, divorce is not right, I have told many and gotten in trouble for it. Get away from that guy. He is going to kill you and kill the children. But I was raised that it's just wrong to get a divorce. It has nothing to do with a divorce. It has to do with life and death. God does not want you being connected to someone that's going to abuse you. Stop it. Shut it down and get away. Number three on our steps to forgiveness, you replace your hurt with God's peace. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. When you let go of your hurt, you make room for God's peace. You see, when you fill your heart with something, whether it's good or bad, you have no more room to put. If it's filled with bad thoughts, bad ideas, you're going to become bitter. There's no room left in there. You filled it up. You filled it with love and peace. The key is peace. If I am at peace in myself, in my heart, I may be at war with the whole world, but if I'm at peace with my God in my heart, that's true peace. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they what shall be called children of God. Did I get that one right?
Yes.
Okay. That has nothing to do with armies making peace. That has to do with bringing people to Jesus Christ. The peacemakers that bring peace within the heart of man are helped to do that. Romans 12:17 through 20. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody, if it is possible. Got it? In the eyes of everybody, if it is possible. As far as it depends on you. That means you're set inside with what God is wanting you to do, and you do the best you can. Live at peace with everyone. Now, people say, see, this means that you okay homosexuality or any of that. No, it doesn't. Let me tell you all something on those areas. A Christian is not allowed to participate in all of this kind of stuff. No, it's against our rule book called the Bible. But you and I cannot dictate to the world that does not know Christ that they can't do this. Don't you think that they who don't know Christ have their hands full, you know, men living with men, women living with women, and doing all the vile stuff? That's the least of their worries. If they don't have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in their heart, they're hell bound. I am not going to go out there and fight with these people on this. I will say to the Christians, don't do this. It is not right as a Christian for you to participate in any of this. But if they're in the world, what am I going to tell? You know, again, that's the least of their problems if they're in the world. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Also remember this, if you go off to take revenge, God will withdraw his punishment on that individual. Whatever the punishment, it would be a right punishment, and it would be a fair punishment to let God do it. But if you go to take revenge on someone for something they've done against you, God says, and when you do that, I will let you do that on your own. Meaning God says he will withdraw his hand from correction on that. You don't want to get into that with the Lord, folks. This doesn't mean that you are to be a people pleaser. It means you must do what is honorable, right, honest, and above criticism. Well, if somebody criticizes you, sure. You want to know when you're closest to doing exactly what God wants you to do? It's when the world starts applauding you. When the world starts applauding you, be careful or just be thankful that God gave you enough sense to realize that if the world is applauding your actions, there's something wrong with your actions. Okay. How to make amends. Number one, make a list of the people you have harmed and what you did to them. Keep that list personal. Okay. If you're going to do that, you might want to make that list in your mind if you have any left. Make a list of the people you have harmed and what you did to them. Number two, think how you would like someone to make amends to you. Luke 6:31. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Okay, let's look at how to ask for forgiveness when making amends. Let's look at these. Do it at the right time. There is a right time in Ecclesiastes 8:6 and a right way to do everything. Well, we know so little. Do it at the right time. You don't go up to someone who has really harmed you in a vicious, vile way when they're walking around with their family, and you go up and you say, you know, I've forgiven you for doing all of this stuff that you did to me or to my family or to my sister. And their family there is getting hurt by you saying that. Do it at the right time. Do it, you will know the right time when you're doing this, because you will feel the comfortable, pleasing feeling of God saying, okay, it's the time. Some things are just out of whoever it is that keeps yelling, go big blue at the end of a service. I'm going to talk to them as soon as I find out who yells that out real quick. You know, you're having an altar call and you're doing this, and then somebody yells, go big blue. Did you all miss that? I didn't miss that. That's what it was. You didn't. That's what it was. And I thought, yeah, praise God, that ought to work. Okay, do it with the right attitude. Do it, that's right after before the last playoff. Happened, sure did. Embarrassing to me and embarrassing in the broadcast. Okay. Do it with the right attitude. Ephesians 4:15-16. We will speak the truth in love. You can be truthful and hurt people. Folks, you tell me the truth about me. You know, the truth about me can hurt. It does hurt. I want a little love there, people. I want a little mercy there, people, when you're telling me, Larry, you're looking pretty bad nowadays. Well, can't you sort of sugarcoat that just a little bit with it? See what I mean? Okay, do it without expectations. Focus only on your part and don't expect anything back. There's another thing. Jesse, I'm sorry, you know, that I mistreated you. And she stares at you. Well, don't you think you ought to say you're sorry for the way you talked to me too? Huh? So you get a whole new argument started. Yeah, you get a whole new argument started on it. Do it without expectations. Don't expect that they're going to say, I forgive you or I accept your apology. Because they may not. Whatever you do, don't stand around and when the dead man stare starts with both of you, because you're going to be in a bigger mess than you was to begin with. Okay. Do it in an appropriate way. Proverbs 12:18. Thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword, but wisely spoken words can heal. There again, be careful what you're saying and how you say it with people. Oh, honey, I want you to know that now you look real good in that dress. It don't really make you look as fat as you think you are, but you know, you really look good. Well, you have just gotten yourself, but you're going to be going to Cracker Barrel for at least 6 months on that one. Make restitution whenever possible. Restore to the person that you've taken from or that you've caused them to lose. If you have taken something, return it. If you owe something, pay it back. If you can't restore it, then apologize for it. Okay, how to make amends, number three. This is the last. refocus your life. Folks, the first thing you need to focus on when you're refocusing your life is your tongue. That tongue is vicious. You'll praise the Lord with it, James says, in one moment and curse someone else the next moment. Refocus your life on doing God's will in your relationship starting right now. Your will and God's will, a lot of times, are not even close. Because you're thinking, this is what I need to do to, I want to make amends. But a lot of times when people are saying this, they want to make amends to make themselves feel better. The focus of you getting the release that you're looking for is not when you say, I'm going to make amends so I'll feel better. You're going to make amends so that individual feels better. When I focus more on that individual than I do on me, God blesses that. If I'm going up to say something just so that people would see it or somebody would hear it, I'm losing on that one to begin with. I must care about what's going on with somebody else more than with myself. You must do that as a Christian, especially. Job 11, 13 through 16. Put your heart right, Job. Reach out to God. Put away evil and wrong from your home. Then face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. Interesting on this one. God nailed, that was Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, or Elihu. Either one of them that made that statement. And if you remember, God nailed every one of them saying, what you all told Job was wrong. What he said, put your heart right, Job. Reach out to God. God himself said that Job had done nothing wrong. And yet all of his friends thought he did something wrong, and they missed the whole lesson that God was trying to teach them. We still miss that lesson a lot today. You need to plug into Jesus. Not only will he give you the strength to forgive others, he will also give you the wisdom, humility, and courage to face your past and make amends where you can. As Jesus said, she did what she could. Leave her alone.